on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. The Justice Department has begun a criminal investigation into Boeing, focusing on an Alaska Airlines flight where a door panel blew out. Details from CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
The DOJ is now looking to see if Boeing is in violation of that agreement. And if they find that they are, or as this probe continues, they find evidence of criminal wrongdoing, Boeing has the potential then to face possible criminal charges. Boeing declined to comment on this DOJ probe.
Dozens of people on a Chilean LATAM Boeing 787 plane flying from Australia to New Zealand were injured during what's being described as a technical incident about 2 hours into the three-hour flight on Tuesday. Investigators have seized the voice and data recorders from the plane. A horrific crash of a school bus in western Illinois.
Both vehicles went up in flames, killing three children on the bus and the driver. The driver of the semi also died. Skyler County Sheriff Bill Redshaw.
Schuyler County is a small county, small community, Raceville, Illinois. It's a close-knit family. And when you have loss of life like this, it's devastating.
The cause of the crash is under investigation. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News, Chicago.
Police say the school bus crossed the center line into the path of the semi. Philadelphia police say two people have been arrested and charged with shooting eight high school students at a city bus stop last week. Deputy Police Commissioner Frank Van Oer says more are wanted.
Anyone who may have aided and assisted them, we're coming for them too. So if you know who you are, if you're involved in this or know something about this, I'm still urging you to give us a call.
Armed groups continue their attacks on Haiti's government infrastructure. The latest from CBS's Manuel Bojorquez.
The situation in the country is critical. People can no longer go about their business, says this man. The gangs are threatening all-out war unless Haiti's Prime Minister Ariel Henry resigns. He is stuck in Puerto Rico after gangs attacked the main airport.
A college in New York is inviting retired seniors to live on campus. CBS's Michael George spoke with some of them.
The couple in their 80s lives in a retirement community built right in the middle of campus.
It's been fabulous.
The Zweigs say they chose an apartment at Broadview at Purchase College because they love learning and new experiences.
We walk all over the campus and we go everywhere.
Just 3 months since its opening, more than half of the 200 senior living units are occupied.
That preacher in Brooklyn, known for his flashy lifestyle, has been found guilty of federal charges. Prosecutors said 47-year-old Lamore Miller Whitehead looted a parishioner's retirement savings. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Another two-year college in Wisconsin is closing its doors. The University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee said Monday it will close its branch campus in Waukesha after the spring semester next year. The Universities of Wisconsin blame falling enrollment, changing demographics, and budget constraints. The presidential campaign returns to Wisconsin this week. President Biden will take his message to Milwaukee Wednesday.
He's focused on preserving democracy in this country after insurrectionists stormed the Capitol and tried to overturn the free and fair election results, restore Roe versus Wade after Donald Trump appointed Supreme Court justices that overturned it, and keeping the greatest American comeback story going.
White House Communications Director Ben LaBolt speaking to ABC News. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
It's the Brewers and the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and Chicago Cubs face off again. This time it's Sloan Park in Mesa, Arizona. Brewers outfielder Garrett Mitchell back after sliding headfirst into third base last year, requiring shoulder surgery.
It was tough. I mean, obviously not being out there every day with the team is not always the easiest, but I was able to get through it. That's kind of what I use the injury as. So it's like just kind of treating each day as a new opportunity to get a little bit better and try to get back out there.
NBA, the Bucks wrap up their West Coast trip tonight in Sacramento against the the Kings. NFL, the Packers making moves in free agency. They signed Raiders running back Josh Jacobs to a four-year deal worth $48 million. On defense, they added Giants safety Xavier McKinney with a four-year contract worth $68 million, an average of $17 million per year. The Packers saying goodbye to running back Aaron Jones and left tackle David Bakhtiari. GM Brian Gutekunst releasing a statement thanking them both for their time in Green Bay. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, a partly cloudy sky, lows in the upper 30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and warm once again with highs into the mid-60s. Mostly cloudy Wednesday, high low 60s. Rain chances move into the area Wednesday night. That carries on over into Thursday, cooler for the rest of the week. Need a change of scenery?
Tuesday,
check out
on
Worthington,
Air,
Minnesota.
Air,
it's
news,
worth a look.
Quite low.
It's
joins
60
us at 10:33.
Right now.
We talk all things maple syrup with Rick Glenna, and then we learn about Key Flag in Waukesha. Join us
on air, online, and on the Civic Media app.
Battle stations, everybody. Let's go. Go.
This
go, go,
is 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
Agency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program. I am Jeff Smith, sitting in for Tom this week, and honored to do so. With me is the intrepid George Bailey, the Puggle. He is not on camera at the moment, but trust me, he is here. He is not on the microphone at the moment, because the clip doesn't really work with his suit. It doesn't attach to his collar. I suppose it would, but we will get back to your callers in a moment. But for right now, we have a special treat. James Steele, Pulitzer Prize winning investigative reporter from the Center for Public Integrity, multiple time Pulitzer Prize winner, is joining us to talk about the legacy of Ronald Reagan's economic policy and its impact on inequality. James Steele, you're with us now. Thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you, Jeff.
So, first of all, give listeners a bit about your background. You won more than one Pulitzer Prize with your partner, and I think investigating maybe the IRS. Tell us the story.
Oh, Jeff, I've probably written about taxes one way or another for many, many decades. And the first Pulitzer we won back in the 1970s had to do with the way the IRS collects taxes. And we showed that most of the emphasis was on those who didn't owe much, insisting that they pay their full amount versus those who very often owed quite a bit that were able to cut a deal with IRS and shave their tax bills. In the 1980s, we won a Pulitzer for also related to taxes, but of a totally different sort. Back in the 1980s, Congress made a big to-do about reforming the tax code, making it fairer for everyone, more equitable, eliminating tax shelters, things like that. What we found when we looked at the bill itself, when we read the fine print, despite this thing about investigative reporters being exotic and getting documents passed to them in parking garages, the fact of the matter is the work is very methodical, systematic, and some people might say even boring a little bit. And anyway, we read this tax bill, hundreds of pages, and we found it was loaded with exceptions to tax reform. People got all kinds of breaks. Somebody who owned a big tax shelter in the Virgin Islands that the IRS was trying to shut down, he got several sentences in the tax bill that exempted him from that. On and on. We found just dozens and dozens of those. So that was what our second one was about. But beyond that, we've also written about taxes in terms of who pays them, who doesn't pay them. We've shown how the corporate tax rate, not tax rate, but actually the effective rate, how much corporations pay, has dropped over the years. You go back to the 50s and 60s, corporations paid 39% of the total number of income taxes paid, 39%. Today it's less than 10%. And the Biden bill, which attempts to impose a certain minimum tax on them, will probably bump that up a tiny bit. But it'll be nothing like really what that burden was in the past, what corporations did have to pay in the past. So much of my background has been doing this. Don and I, over the years, did our own analysis. We did our own numbers crunching. We rarely relied on any think tanks. And I think because of that, we felt we could make some pretty strong statements about what was right and what was wrong with the tax system.
And so, as you talk about, given the year again when the corporate tax, the share of taxes paid by corporations was 39%?
Basically, in the late 50s, early 60s, all through the 50s, it was that high. And today, it's less than 10%.
What have been the big moves? I mean, a lot of us can guess them, but what have been the big moves that have shaved that down from 39 down to below 10?
The largest one is the reduction in the tax rate for corporations. And, of course, the Trump tax bill dropped that rate from roughly 35% to 21%. A number of special gimmicks that corporations have lobbied for and inserted into the tax code is another reason what they're paying is down. One of the most fascinating numbers we came up with in this last study of ours, I mean, I think everybody knows corporations are powerful and all that sort of thing. But in Washington, you won't believe this number. And as much as I've written about it, frankly, I was surprised by this number. You look at the total bill for lobbying, corporations pay 85 to 90% of the total amount of money spent lobbying the Congress and regulatory agencies. Labor unions, who are often trotted out as being supposedly strong in their area, less than 2 to 3% in many cases. I mean, there's just absolutely no comparison. So corporations have tremendous entree to Washington, not just in legislative process, but all those regulatory agencies, which are equally important with the laws that come out.
So you talk about the shift in the share of taxation, which you say is a tax burden. And before we talk just about Reagan's legacy of tax cuts, let's also talk about tax increases. Who did he raise taxes on? You already said a little bit who he cut taxes on. But, yeah, explain that balance or imbalance.
Well, in the Reagan years, after the dramatic tax cuts in 1981 on individuals and corporations, in the subsequent years, the taxes were raised on corporations. But I'll tell you what, it wasn't so much a tax increase as it was rolling the tax code back to what it had been before Reagan took office. In other words, all kinds of things were cut in the 1981 Act, depreciation, a whole range of corporate things like that reduced the tax rate. Subsequent acts just rolled some of that stuff back to the way it was before that. What I concentrated on heavily in this piece, which I think we're going to talk about today, and by the way, this grew out of a book I wrote on called America, What Went Wrong? The Crisis Deepens, where I saw really in kind of very concise form exactly how all of this had transpired over the years. But anyway, what happened in 81 was there was a dramatic reduction in tax rates for individuals, especially those at the very top. And that set the pattern for tax cuts really from then on, because here's what happened. In almost every tax cutting legislation, there are some crumbs for the average person. But who really benefits from these? Inevitably, it's those at the very top. And the Trump bill of 2017 is very dramatic in that sense. You take people making, you know, middle class people, 50 to 75,000, people in that category got, on average, roughly $800 tax cut. But anybody in that category, 1 million or over as a group, their tax cut was $64,000 a year. It was about the same percentage with each, but when you're making that kind of money, it's a whole lot different dollar figure. That was the pattern you see set back in the Reagan years. Small tax cuts for little people, big tax cuts for the rich people.
And you now, the story of Ronald Reagan, heck, Joe Biden just cited him in his speech, right? Ronald Reagan is the president that, a tiny bit less so now, because I think Trump doesn't want a monument to anyone other than himself, so he's sort of the first major Republican politician who doesn't cite Ronald Reagan quite as much, but still, he's been citable authority for a while. And almost, I mean, Obama, I'd like to praise him. I mean, it's there has been, I don't want to say whitewashing, but I guess I just did, of sort of the Reagan legacy, mostly about the line that Joe Biden uttered, which is, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And we now face the biggest inequality in the country since the Gilded Age, since 100 years ago. And one of the things I'm interested about from your work, maybe the thing I'm interested about from your work, is helping people understand how we got there. And part of the challenge, it seems, and I want to dig into this maybe a little bit when we get back, is how that story gets told, and we tell it in a way that isn't boring. How can people actually understand it? Not because they think things go over people's heads, but because people are busy and have other things going on. So we'll stick around for a moment and do want to hear from you the connection between those Reagan years and where we are in terms of inequality now, and how we should tell that story. We'll be back. This is James Steele. I'm Jeff.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. I'm Jeff Smith with James Steele, Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter.
You can talk on your radio. Great. The Brewers, 1400 AM, WRJN.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing and always need to stick your fingers to test your blood sugar. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. Apply a discrete sensor on your body and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger sticks. If you are living with type 1 or type 2 diabetes and you use insulin or have had hypoglycemic events, you might be eligible for a CGM through your insurance benefits. U.S. Med partners with over 500 private insurance companies and Medicare. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill your insurance. Call us today for a free benefits check.
800-472-8060. 800-472-8060. 800-472-8060. That's 800-472-8060.
All eyes will be on Wisconsin when the NFL brings the 2025 player selection draft to the state. 250,000 visitors are expected. Here's Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich.
You know, maybe we don't have as many hotel rooms as a Kansas City or a Detroit, but I think it's going to be incredibly positive, not just for Green Bay, but the state as a whole.
It's the second time Wisconsin hosted the draft, the first in 1939. Do you know where? Oshkosh, Milwaukee, or Madison? The answer coming up.
It's really our obligation to pull people out of that campus when the draft activities aren't going on, to make sure that they see all the sites that we have within our downtown and other places.
And with the main draft campus around Lambeau Field, it's a time for the whole area to shine. Now, did you guess the Wisconsin location for the 1939 draft? It was a one-day event in Milwaukee with the NFL championship game the next day. The Packers beat the Giants 27-0. There's a winning slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them.
I brought my dog with me today. His name is George Bailey. I feed him. Did you know that a lot of popular dog food brands have whole teams devoted to making their food addictive and as addictive as possible? They often use chemical flavorings to mask ingredients that are awful for your dog, which can lead to problems for your pup, like low energy, skin issues, digestive problems. Here's the thing. Blue and Chewy are Tom's dogs, and they deserve food that tastes incredible and makes them feel incredible also. So does George. And that's why we love Nature's Blend. It's a premium dog food formulated by Dr. Marty, a veterinarian, called the Miracle Worker by Forbes magazine. It has zero artificial preservatives, flavors, or additives. Instead, turkey, beef, salmon, duck, beef liver are the first five ingredients, so dogs naturally love the flavor. And when we feed the dogs Nature's Blend, today you can get up to 54% off your first order of Nature's Blend. Plus a free bag of Tilly's Treasures, their best-selling beef liver treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom or text THOM to 511-511. Again, text Tom, THOM to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply. All dogs go to heaven. We're back with James Steele, investigative reporter, just wrapping up. So, James, you tell the story, you help give the data, you tell the story in accurate numbers about how the decision starting the Reagan administration, through the Reagan administration, starting in 1981, ended up cutting taxes on wealthy Americans, not cutting taxes on middle-income and lower Americans, exacerbating inequality, lowering funding for public programs, including, I mean, one that comes up a lot now is housing. So many local mayors, so many local state governments are being blamed for housing challenges and homeless challenges, but it shouldn't be that big a secret. Public housing started losing its funding, lost its funding under the Reagan administration, never got it back, and there's no city that has the power of the federal government to wield that kind of economic power. But how can people, because you tell a story that is now 40 years in the making, right? So it took a while, where it wasn't like they passed a bill and instantly we got big income and wealth inequality. Second, it's not as clear a particular issue. It's not one act, right? It's not the initiation of Social Security, or it's not an issue like abortion. It's a set of decisions. How do you tell that story? How can people in the parlance of political debate, in a kitchen table debate, end up communicating about this in a way that sticks?
Well, it's a great question, Jeff, and I've actually thought about this myself many, many times. An analogy that I've sort of used is we think of the Civil War. Everybody knows about the Battle of Gettysburg, right? But what they don't know about are those 20 or 30 other battles where the casualties end up far greater than that, in their own way have a far more significant impact on the conduct of the war. So with taxes, there's never that great big dramatic moment where a lot of things happens. It's a gradual thing that piles up over time. And that's exactly what's happened. That's what's happened with personal income taxes. That's happened with corporate taxes, even with the estate tax. And when we first started looking at this in 1980, you had 27,000 people paying the federal estate tax in the U.S. you know what it was a couple of years ago? 2000. You know, that kind of a drop. And during that time, we've added 100 million more people to the population. So you know there's a lot of wealth out there that's not being taxed now that once was taxed. So this is a story that happens just gradually over time. There's no one particular thing. And the one number that I use that I think puts some flesh on this, because taxes are hard for people to grasp, even though they are in some ways at the very heart of our system. Back in 1981, when the first of these Reagan tax cuts went in, one of the most momentous was that they reduced, they eliminated the tax on dividends and interest on taxpayers who made a substantial amount of money. Only the very rich paid, there was a 70% tax on dividends and interest. Only the very rich paid that. When they eliminated, they moved it down to 50%. If that were still on the books today, that 70% on those kind and that kind of income, we would have raised, we'd be raising more than $100 billion a year in additional revenue. I mean, this is real money. $100 billion would have paid for all the bridges, all the water systems that were outlined in the Infrastructure Act of about 3 years ago. So you're not talking about mythological stuff. I mean, you're talking about real serious money. And that's what happens when you cut those taxes. There's not enough for other things.
What is your advice now to policymakers? What's sort of your final thought? Which, if people have a takeaway, if they're a staffer for an elected official or they're a voter, what's the key takeaway that you want to leave people with?
Well, I think we need to increase the rate on the very, you know, the very rich in this country. This is not going to penalize them a bunch. In fact, there are interest groups out there now of the very, very wealthy who are actually campaigning for this because they are worried about the direction the country is taking of, you know, more people at the top, more people at the bottom, the middle class squeezed in between. So that needs to be done. And actually, most public opinion polls support that, not because they want to sock it to the rich, but just because it's equity. So that's one of the things they need to do. They also need to increase the tax on some corporations, not your domestic corporations, but certainly the international corporations. They're the ones who've figured out a way to play the system very well. So those are two very, very important things they need to do. Because, you know, what we're seeing with this inequality, you know, Don and I wrote about this 30 years ago. We warned unless we change the tax system, we're going to have increasing inequality. Well, I'll tell you what.
And now we're seeing it.
It's a lot worse than we had envisioned back then. And it's going to get worse now. And the consequences will be social. That's what worries me.
James Steele, publicintegrity.org. Thank you so much for being with us, man.
Glad to be with you, Jim.
Listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. The call number is 202-808-9925. And if you have a really good tax preparer, let me know. My wife... Handles that part.
Music, talk, and sports. Talk about your trouble. Get this guy a talk and sports. Cookie. 4 a.m.
How would you like to get a free smartphone? If you own a smartphone, listen to this incredible offer that's almost too good to be true. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Plus, get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline now and we'll move your number from your existing service. Think of your savings. So don't wait. Switch your plan, save money, plus get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. We guarantee you're going to love our service. If you don't like what we say, you can hang up on us. But you won't. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. That's 800-942-1325.
Everything is expensive right now. Gas, food, you name it. You're spending more, you're making the same or less money. So, what do? You rack up credit card debt, that's what you do. It's not your fault, it's the economy. And guess what? If you rack up too much credit card debt like some of us, you can't pay your bills. Then the credit card companies, as nice as they are, start hounding you for money. then you start your downward spiral. A smart thing for you to do is to call the Zero Debt. They can help you consolidate all your credit card bills into one affordable payment. Millions of people have done it. It works to make you debt-free. Make this free call right now. It costs you nothing to learn more.
800-298-9093. 800-298-9093. 800-298-9093. That's 800-298-9093.
On air, online, and on the Civic Media app.
Battle stations, everybody. Let's go, go.
This
go, go,
is 1400 go. AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
CBS News Special Report. The head of a group of Caribbean nations, Guyana's President Irfan Ali, says Haiti's leader has quit.
We acknowledge the resignation of Prime Minister Ariel Henry upon the establishment of a transitional presidential council and the naming of an interim prime minister.
The BBC's David Harper says the U.S. will help fund African peacekeepers in Haiti.
Mr. Blinken pledged another $100 million to finance the police force, which is expected to be led by Kenya. Heavily armed gangs have been demanding the resignation of Mr. Henry for some time.
The State Department's Matthew Miller says the U.S. is getting Americans out of the country.
We had a number of embassy personnel that left over the weekend. We had additional security forces that deployed to the mission because of the security situation there. And we'll continue to assess the situation and make whatever appropriate decisions we need to protect our staff and personnel there.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Christopher Cruz.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The people trying to recall Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss say they have more than enough signatures to force a vote. Donald Trump's supporters in Voss's district wanted him to do more to back Trump's unproven claims about election fraud. They also wanted Voss to remove Megan Wolf from her job as Wisconsin's top election official. The recall signatures were due Monday. The city of Milwaukee is set to receive another $25 million from the federal government to make sure the Republican National Convention goes smoothly this summer. That brings the total amount of security funding for the event up to $75 million. Lawmakers in Washington signed off on the additional funding Friday. The RNC is expected to draw thousands of political junkies to Milwaukee this July and could need as many as 4,500 cops to make sure everyone is safe. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you could catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on WRJN 1400 AM 99.9 FM in Racine, your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, a partly cloudy sky, lows in the upper 30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and warm once again with highs into the mid-60s. Mostly cloudy Wednesday, high-low 60s. Rain chances move into the area Wednesday night. That carries on over into Thursday, cooler for the rest of the week. Need a change of scenery? Check out Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Rich Lucchesio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
News, talk, and the sports that made Wisconsin great. Packers, Bucks, and coming in 2024, the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
All of your support. Hey, if you like the rants that I open the show with every day, they're typically published over at HartmanReport.com. Check it out.
Do you know that a lot of popular dog foods have whole teams devoted to making their food as addictive as possible? And they often use chemical flavorings to mask ingredients that are awful for your dog. They lead to problems for your dog, like low energy, skin issues, digestion problems. Here's the thing. Our dogs deserve food that tastes great and makes them feel incredible, too. And that's why dogs love Blue and Chewy's Nature's Blend. And by Blue and Chewy, I mean Tom's dogs. They love Blue and Chewy's Nature's Blend. It's a premium dog food formulated by Dr. Marty, a veterinarian called the Miracle Worker by Forbes magazine. It has zero artificial preservatives, flavors, or additives. Instead, turkey, beef, salmon, duck, beef liver are the first five ingredients, so dogs naturally love the flavor. We feed our dogs Nature's Blend. Today, you can get up to 54% off your first order of Nature's Blend, plus a free bag of Tilly's Treasure, their best-selling beef liver treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom or text T-H-O-M to 511-511. Text Tom, T-H-O-M to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply. And we are back. This is Tom's show. I'm Jeff Smith. It's an honor to be here with you today. Let's go straight to your phone calls. I think Toby might win the Most Patient Listener Award. Toby, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, and it's worth the wait.
Well, we're about to find out, but go ahead.
So I'm just calling that a little off topic about the whole TikTok thing. I was reading over Brendan Carr's tweet, and you know he's a commissioner at the FTC, and he's using Newsmax and he's using Breitbart as like his media go-tos for getting the word out. I just find it a bit ironic that you know those two are kind of like Putin's washing machines when it comes to Russian disinformation and propaganda, and that's who he chooses to go after TikTok with. Then he quotes the 60 Minutes, you know, piece they did where saying, well, TikTok has a different version for the kids. Well, if that's the case, that's because the Chinese government is making them do that, which is something the FTC should be doing for all social media. So he's just kind of exposing himself for not doing his job.
Yeah. About your first point, there is a challenge we've got. I mean, one of the challenges of reaching the right-wing American now is, and I cite it almost every time I have a chance to sit in, not every day, but most, I find myself going back and back to its seminal text, Yochai Benkler's Network Propaganda, a book out of Harvard and MIT that talks about the modern media landscape and the modern, particularly right-wing media landscape. And it has become such an echo chamber that if you don't, that there's no way, you can't just go on 60 Minutes and expect to reach the median Republican voter because they aren't paying attention. Not even just the median Republican voters not reading the Wall Street Journal, not even just sort of standard issue, kind of more conservative texts. They are going to Breitbart. They are going to the Drudge Report, et cetera. But appreciate the call. And your point about if TikTok is regulatable by the Chinese government, then the United States, you know, it should be on the table to consider what we should be doing with social media in general. Toby, thank you for your patience. Thanks for the call, man.
Thank you.
All right. Tom from Los Angeles, you're on the air.
Yeah. Good morning, Jefferson. First off, we the people ultimately are the government and not the corporations, and we must never forget this. And we must get money out of politics so we can restore government truly back to we the people. Couple other points that are very important, and I have a question on it for you. So there was a guy that called in before, and I think that we as a knowledgeable viewing audience need to pick up on some cues that are said. So this guy said he was from Oak Park and all that stuff, but you notice how he said everybody is saying it. And, oh, my gosh, the media, everyone's doing it. Everyone's saying it. Everywhere I go, I hear it. Those are straight words from the Donald Trump playbook. And we need to be aware of that because what they do is they make the majority into the minority and the minority into the majority. And we as viewers need to really pick up on those cues because my antenna went right up.
Oh, it's a great point,
Tom. He started saying that.
No, it's a great point.
And
go ahead.
I want to ask one other question before I get bumped off. Jimmy Kimmel in the show last night. My question to you is, I want to go back to the other point, but my question to you is this. With Jimmy Kimmel talking about Trump yesterday, and he does every night on his show and all that kind of stuff, I love how President Biden called him the previous occupant and not using the word Trump.
Yeah.
Do you think that all of these people that cover Trump every single day, even if it's him being a buffoon and all of this, if that truly is helping Trump, or does that truly hurt Trump? Because, yes, we need to educate people about it, but on the other hand, no press is bad press. So I really have a dilemma with this, because I honestly, like the other day when Trump was doing a thing where he was mocking Joe Biden on a stutter, which is absolutely appalling. You know, it's like you want to show people that, but at the same time, is that actually giving Trump more publicity because we're constantly talking about him? I'd much rather just call him the previous occupant or something like that, but we don't use his name. What do you think?
No, I appreciate it, Tom, and thanks
on both things.
Yeah, no, thanks for the call. So I'll say the first thing. I'm glad you picked up on, it was the second Mario from Chicago who said we're going to, you know, Democrats are going to lose the election because of immigration. I said, what's the data it's based on? I said, well, I see it everywhere, and I hear it, and everybody's talking about it. And that is, I'm reminded of a law professor who was citing a legal brief, and in it, in a sentence, it said, well, obviously we know that blank. And she said, well, if your only citable authority is obviously, that a good lawyer is going to look at that and say, maybe it's not obvious. In fact, maybe the reason they said obviously is because they lacked citable authority. They lacked actual data upon which to base their conclusions. So they just said, well, as everybody knows, obviously this is the case. And ever since then, I've watched out for obviously. And I do try. This is Tom's show. This is your show. And so I do try to be a little humble when I sit in this chair and hugely grateful to the callers. But I'm glad that you pointed at that point. It is, of course, why I asked for data in the first place. But if people are just saying, oh, well, everybody's saying, well, who's everybody? And what's the reasoning? And is it everybody or is it some people? And how should we measure everybody? To your second point, I've been wrestling with that ever since Trump was the first was candidate for president. Well, I shouldn't say for the first time. He was president first time long, you know, years and years ago. But when he was president at the time, he was successful in getting elected. And it's the Trump trap. It's, do you talk about it or not talk about it? You can't criticize Donald Trump, or it's hard to, anytime you say a critical thing of Donald Trump, you say the words Donald Trump. And what he wants to do is occupy attention. He wants us to be talking about him. So how do we deal with that? One is, as you said, sort of damn with faint praise, right? As you said, kind of use, you know, avoid his name and just say the previous occupant of the White House, or, you know, Biden used the word my predecessor. So you don't have to say his name. Another is try to pick the fight. By that, I mean pick the topic. Because I figure somehow, this is my big insight. You want my big insight? Here's my big insight. And I noticed it several years ago, when in fact he was candidate for and then when he was president. When he would do these things, like say these ridiculously outlandish things, these things that cut against any norm or principle of human conversation or tact. And I noticed the timing. And his timing was always when there was something worse that he didn't want people talking about. He didn't want people talking about that he had been found liable for sexual assault. So he says something terrible that has to be replied to. He says something about trans people or something that requires a bunch of defenders of the trans community to say something. And all of a sudden, he gets to pick the fight. He says the horrible thing, so people have to respond. There is something that happens to demonstrate his ties to the Russian government and to Russian oligarchs, and the fact that his business had been funded by Russian oligarchs for years and years. And so he says something horrible about a reporter dealing with disability. And people, of course, have to come to that reporter's defense and criticize Trump for that. And then he doesn't mind being called a jerk. He doesn't mind being called a jerk. He wants to be viewed as a jerk to his enemies. That is his greatest power. That is not a glitch. That is the feature that he offers to his supporters, because they want, what they want is the biggest, meanest jerk over the forces that they hate, and the forces that they hate are Democrats and liberals. And so, Trump's a jerk. That doesn't hurt him. So what do you do about it? I like the first move, the kind of avoid saying his name sometimes. We're still going to have to say his name. The other is try to put the attention on the stuff where he doesn't want the attention. On his failures, on the fact that he was a failure as a president, on the fact that he lost an election, that he lost by millions and millions of votes, not just electoral votes, the fact that he has been a failure in his businesses, the fact that he has been viewed liable by juries after juries and judges after judges. So don't let him pick the fight. And don't just fall into the Trump trap of the criticisms that he welcomes, because they strengthen him with his own core, the core of who he wants to be and the core of who he wants his supporters to support and the core of what his supporters want to support. Go after the stuff he doesn't want to focus on, which is failures, his un-American activities, his true disloyalty.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
We'll be back.
Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
This is the Tom Hartman Show, 202-808-9925.
When you think about Tom Hartman, you're ready to go. Sports Talk and Sports, 1400 AM, 99.1 FM, WRJN.
Do you have a car sitting around you want to get rid of? Then here's a great idea. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Yes, one fast call to the Veteran Car Donation Program and we'll come and remove your car for free. Fast, free towing, and 24-hour response. You can donate most cars, trucks, or SUVs in most conditions. The proceeds raised goes to help active military, veterans, and their families, and you get a tax deduction. All you need to do is make this free call. Get rid of that old car and help the vets. We make it easy. Make this free call now and book your fast and easy pickup. Call the Veteran Donation Program now. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Operators are standing by. Here's the number.
800-884-9018. 800-884-9018. 800-884-9018. That's 800-884-9018.
This is Don Rosen. We're talking to local guests with lifestyle and important information for you. Weekday morning, 6 to 8 on 1400 AM, 99.9 FM and 98.1 FM. WRJN, hometown radio, refreshed.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now, is to take a Kringle and go away?
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Help support Progressive Radio. If you're listening to us on a commercial station, call their advertisers and let them know you're listening. If you're listening to us on Pacifica, one of our many nonprofit stations, please support them when they do their fundraising drives. Thanks for supporting Progressive Talk Radio and tag you're it.
Let's go to San Jose, California. Bob, you're on the air.
Yes, I want to comment. While I've been on hold, added an interesting thing. James Steele was talking about his book about America, What Went Wrong,
yeah,
which I highly recommend to people. If they haven't read it, they should. Even though it's about 30 years old, it's still very timely. However, he didn't say something really interesting about the tax cuts, and I think people need to know this. Donald Trump's tax cut was permanent for the top people, but temporary for people like us. That represents a major shift of who pays the taxes, because the temporary tax cuts phase out after 3 or 4 years, and your taxes go back up. Meanwhile, the people at the top had to have permanent cuts. So they're getting away, not paying. And the guess who pays the check? It's us. That's my comment about Jim Steele. He should have said something more about this differential.
The permanent versus the temporary nature.
Permanent for the wealthy, temporary for the middle class.
No, it's a good point, and thank you, Bob, for the call and for listening to the program.
But that's actually not why I called.
Go ahead.
What was a little something that I think a lot of people missed. This was a very well designed and executed almost landmine for President Biden as he was coming into the hall, heading towards the dais where he gives the speech. And this was Marjorie Taylor Greene, who handed him this button with a lady's face on it, and she says, "Say her name." Now, where have you heard the words "say her name" before? I'll tell you where. It had to do with, I believe it was in Nashville, someplace in the South, a woman who was asleep in her bed. A no-knock warrant occurred. They broke in the door, and she got shot dead in her bed.
Yeah, Sandra Bland, yeah.
And the protests were saying to the people, "Say her name." That's where the phrase came from. And the concept of a button with her picture and her name on it, that was handed to President Biden by Marjorie Greene. Now, I am willing to bet at that moment there were several cell phones in the hands of Republicans, all there to record President Biden and how he reacted to that. They were trying to get him off script.
Sure.
And so something that was not rehearsed. He took the button. He didn't say anything at that moment, but when he got up on the stage, he actually did fall in the trap a little bit, because he did mention the woman's name, although he mispronounced her first name a little bit. That wasn't the big one. The big one for me was when he said she was shot by an illegal.
Sure.
No. People are not illegal. He was a criminal, and he may have been previously a criminal, but certainly shooting somebody is a criminal act. But I think he handled it reasonably well. He used a term they understood, because they're the one who keep keep pounding on that one. Mm-hmm. But that was a carefully crafted landmine that they were trying to capture him stumbling on what's going on.
Sure.
Getting off the script and seeing how, and they hope to have him come up with word salad worse than Donald Trump does.
Yeah, because if you're able to get, and thanks very much, Bob. Appreciate the call. Appreciate you being part of the community and appreciate both your points. If you're able to get off script, you never know what could happen, and there's a chance it might not be the best moment. And Biden gave a great speech and had lots of great moments, and I don't want to spend all our time talking about that one moment because that wasn't his best moment. But the because it doesn't give time to say the smartest thing. And Biden is actually pretty good that sometimes he does, right? His responses very often were really, really good. But it's hard to give your very best response when you don't have any chance from a writer's room or any chance of your own sober second sense. And he was almost there when he said his second line, which said, well, you're not, but that doesn't take away from, I'm getting it wrong, but doesn't take away from all of the deaths that are happening from, I think he said, legals. And he was on to something, right? If he'd had a carefully crafted response, which there was no time to do, and therefore I'm here not to throw stones, but it would have been something close to that, but something like, yeah, we should be concerned about people who are killed by criminals, which is why Republicans, not only should you have signed not kill the border bill that you helped write, but it's also why you should help with the gun violence that's running rampant in the country that you are blocking doing anything about. Right. There was a chance for him to pivot that, and he almost got there. To his great credit, he's been doing this for a long time. But it is tricky, and of course they wanted to set a trap. I don't think he fell into the trap fully. He almost made it a trap for them. Let's go very quickly to Martha, because I think, Martha, you were going to say what I said, which is it was Sandra Bland. But go ahead. We got 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah. Sandra Bland was... committed suicide in the jail cell. She was pulled over in Texas, I believe, for broken taillight or something like that. Or she was going too slow by the cop, and he made her get out of the car and that kind of stuff. But
that was different than what her dad. She was, and I know it's sad, it's tragic that we have enough shootings and killings that it's hard to get them straight. Okay, the crime rate.
Well, that's why they started with the women, all the women,
exactly,
black women, because we're always worried about the white women that are lost and that are, you know, killed by somebody, but the black women, you know, they're just nameless. Yeah. The indigenous women. So,
yeah, it was.
Yeah,
I didn't hear Kimberly,
you.
Kimberly Crenshaw coined the term, and it was about Sandra Bland, who died after a routine traffic stop, and it became, the say her name became a clarion call, and it was about Sandra Bland, so we might as well say the name, Sandra Bland. Thank you so much for calling. We'll be back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Did you know a lot of popular dog food brands have whole teams devoted to making their food as addictive as possible? And they often use chemical flavorings to mask ingredients that are awful for your dog, which can lead to problems for your pup, like low energy, skin issues, and digestion problems. Here's the thing. Your dog deserves food that tastes incredible and makes them feel incredible, too. That's why I love feeding my dogs Blue and Chewy, Nature's Blend. It's a premium dog food formulated by Dr. Marty, a veterinarian called the Miracle Worker by Forbes magazine. It has zero artificial preservatives, flavors, or additives. Instead, turkey, beef, salmon, duck, and beef liver are the first five ingredients. So dogs naturally love the flavor. When we feed Blue and Chewy Nature's Blend, they just love it. Today, you can get up to 54% off your first order of Nature's Blend, plus a free bag of Tilly's Treasures, their best-selling beef liver dog treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom or text Tom to 511-511. That's drmartypets.com/THOM. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply.
News, talk, and sports.
Talk about your triple play.
Get this guy a jockstrap and a cookie.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Tuesday on Nightlight, I welcome entertainment reporter Rob Thomas for an Oscar wrap-up and comedian Roger Rittenhouse. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop.
That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Your home for the Packers.
1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.